This message this morning is the first in a series that I've called Saying No to Jesus. And I started writing the notes for this message in 2006. And I don't remember ever delivering the message. I don't recall if I ever actually preached the message. I remember vaguely writing this particular message. But I think what happened was it became a series in my mind and I never finished it. And so I didn't preach the first message because we got into something else and I don't remember what it was then, but what I know is that this started in 2006. So, you know, part of what happens when God brings me to something like this is it shows me that He was preparing me then for now. It was 13 years ago. He was preparing for this message for today for you back then. Okay? Because He knew you were going to be here. He knew each and every one of you were going to be here to receive this message in 2006 when I wasn't even serving in this building. I didn't start serving here till 2007, till August of 2007. My text is from the 14th chapter of John, and this is where we hear that Jesus told His disciples, "If you love Me, you will obey My commandments." If you love Him, you will obey His commandments. In order to obey His commandments, you have to know what they are. And in order to know what they are, you must read God's Word. Now, there's a few today, there's many of us, I guess, who would think that maybe we do obey His commandments, right? We think we obey His commandments. We're not breaking His commandments. We're not violating the commandments of Christ. There are others today who say, "Well, we're not under the law anymore, Pastor. I don't have to do anything." I don't know. Jesus said, if you love Him, you keep His commandments. So I'm going with what He said. Is that okay with you all? Is it okay that we go with what He said? Because to me, that's what matters. What He said, not what I say, and not what you say, and not what some other preacher said, not what some theologian said, and not what some guy 500 years ago said. I'm going to go with the words of Christ. Because that's what matters to me. Because that's what matters to Him. That's why it matters to me. There's many of us who are guilty of refusing to obey His commandments, either literally, we just say no to Jesus, or figuratively, we live our lives in a way that's contrary to what He commanded. And this happens in a variety of ways. And to see what I mean, we're going to look at some, just some of the ways today. And as I said, this is a series of messages. There are going to be more messages. And I hope that that doesn't scare you all off, but I think we need to know this. I think we need to learn this. I think we need to know what He said so we can live our lives following what He taught. So, we're going to see today and over the next few weeks what it means to be saying no to Jesus. Open your Bibles now to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel record. You'll find that on page 1664 there in the Bible in your seats. John chapter 14, we're going to begin at verse 15 and read through verse 18. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15 and going through verse 18. And I'm just going to briefly exposit the text also. But at first, we're just going to read John 14, beginning at verse 15. And this is what's written there. If you love Me, this is Jesus speaking, keep My commandments. And if you keep His commandments, He says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be able to abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. Now, He's speaking to people that He had been preaching to. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, is he talking about coming physically? No, he's talking about coming spiritually. And the Spirit lives in you, and Christ living in you is going to bring you into that place of obedience. This is what he's saying. So, as I was writing, I said, well, I could hear somebody saying in your heart, well, Pastor John, what's that text got to do with saying no to Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Somebody's heart's thinking it, at least. The most prominent way in which people say no to the Lord is by refusing to be transformed. Refusing to be transformed. Now, if he's the potter and we're the clay, guess what? He takes us and he molds us, okay? And he makes us into his image. He does the work. We simply yield. We throw up our hands and say, I'm not going to be me anymore, God. I'm going to be who you want me to be. Take me. Use me. Make me. Mold me. Transform me. Have me do what you want me to do. Make me what you want me to be. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. No longer serving me. He transforms us. He changes us. And then we read in the Scripture, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now some will say, oh, now, come on, Pastor, that's not reasonable. Well, God says it is. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we say no to Jesus when we don't want to be transformed. We say no to Jesus when we don't want to have our mind renewed. We keep that old mind. We want to keep that old man, that old woman. We don't want to be changed, right? No, we say no to Jesus. His will is that we be transformed. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, it's written, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and he's been and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and listen, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You think you can live in filth? Is that a place of renewal? Is that a place of transformation? Do you think you can live any way you choose? And God is pleased, as I said last week. Yeah, God's out there rooting for you, right? Yeah, go out and send it up and I'll come back and I'll forgive you. No, that's not God's plan. His plan is that you're renewed. His plan is that you're transformed. And when you refuse to be renewed, when you refuse to be transformed, you're saying no to Jesus. That's His Word. The renewal occurs as we read and study and meditate upon the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hear what's written in 1 Peter chapter 1. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures today. No, that's not what it says. The Word of the Lord endures this week. No, no. The Word of the Lord endured 500 years ago. No, The word of the Lord endures, say it with me, forever. Forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you, he says. Therefore, laying aside some malice. No. All malice. And all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. Be hungry for the Word. That you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Because if you haven't, you can come up here right now and we'll put you down at this altar and we'll lay hands on you and we will anoint you with oil and we will pray for you right now that you will taste that the Lord is gracious, that you will receive His Spirit, that you will be transformed, that you will be renewed. Because that's the will of the Lord. It's not our will, although it is our will. It's His will that we're doing. Renewal is thwarted by pouring worldly garbage into our minds. You want renewal of your mind? Stop pouring the garbage in. Where does that come from? Ungodly entertainment. Ungodly worldly television programming. Ungodly worldly advertisements. Oh, advertisements? Yeah, when I was a child, advertisements were usually pretty harmless. Now? Don't watch commercial television and expect that you're going to escape the world. Too many people have told me, I don't watch it. But too many people have told me, I'm watching something, it's a real nice family story, and next thing you know, there's this woman bouncing around, or there's this guy bouncing around with whatever. And think about the worldly print media. Not even going to go there. There's so much garbage out there. Comes in the form of magazines, comes in the form of books. Stuff that we should not be putting into our minds. People spend more time in this worldly print stuff than they do in the Word of God. And it's no wonder that we have a church that's so sick. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about wholesale. This church of Jesus Christ is sick. We wouldn't be seeing what we're seeing in the body of Christ if it wasn't. Too many people think they can go out and do whatever they want. They're saying no to Jesus. How many times me and my family have been assaulted in the church? It's ridiculous. And I praise God it's not happening now. I praise God it's not happening now. It's a praise I didn't lift before, but I'm lifting it now. My children assaulted. My wife assaulted. Emotionally, spiritually. And how many people tell me how bad the church is? Oh, I can't go to the church. They're full of hypocrites. Well, yeah, it is full of hypocrites. They need to be transformed by the renewing of their minds through the Word of Almighty God. This is why we preach the Word here. We do rebuke, we do reprove, and we do exhort. We uplift. But not without the other two. Because that's not what he doesn't just say, oh, go and exhort everybody. No, he says, rebuke them, reprove them, teach them what's right, tell them what's wrong, and then uplift them and assist them and guide them. That's what he says. That's his word. Think about it. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we hear, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You got television programming that has all those? Tell me, do you have television programming? Do you have movies that are out there, a commercially produced entertainment that does this? Pure, true, noble, just, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. That's what we're supposed to be meditating on. Not this garbage. We're hurting ourselves and we're hurting the body of Christ by filling ourselves with all of this junk of the world. We need to cut and run from that stuff because it's harming us. Many who call themselves Christians neglect the means by which we can be renewed. We don't receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. That's how James puts it. When we allow other things to take priority in our lives instead of studying God's Word, we're saying no to Jesus. And we don't change. We're guilty of this if we neglect to study the Bible on our own, and we're guilty of it if we neglect to study the Bible together. We're called as a family to learn what it is that God has for us. If we are, in fact, calling upon the name of Christ, if we are saying we are following Him, then we need to know what He taught. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said. If you love Him. If. We neglect the transforming power of God's Word, though. We're just as guilty as those people who said no to Jesus whenever they turned Him over to Pilate. We're just as guilty as those who were crying out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! We say no to Jesus, we're just as guilty as they were. You know, it's written that Jesus said, they who have my commandments and keep them, they are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. That's just a little after the passage we read this morning. That's verse 21 in John chapter 14. No, it's before that. Excuse me. We read from 15, or did we? No, we read 14, chapter 14, verse 15 to 18, and this is verse 21. You know, we can also be guilty of saying no to Jesus by refusing to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. When? When you pray. See, that presupposes that you will pray. It presupposes that you are going to pray. It presupposes that you need a little guidance in your prayer. And He gave lots of instructions on that. We're going to look at that in another message. But I needed to cover this as part of the overall oversight, as the first message in the series. He gave guidelines for prayer. And ignoring His guidelines is saying no to Him. No, no, I got this, Jesus. I'm good. I don't need your instructions. He's become our high priest. Did you know that? That's what's written in Hebrews chapter 2. He became like us for this very purpose. He came into the flesh. And as our high priest, He made it possible for us to boldly approach God's throne of grace in prayer. He's our high priest. And no longer a human priest. Christ is our priest. You don't need a priest to make a sacrifice for you. Christ made that sacrifice. And I know some of my brothers and sisters that are in other faiths aren't going to like to hear that, but that's what the Bible teaches. He's our high priest. He's able to save those who come to God through Him. And He ever lives, the Scripture says, to make intercession for us. That's Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. He lives to make intercession for us. Are you talking to Him? Are you asking Him? Are you praying? No. When we don't pray privately and together as we should, we're saying no to Jesus. We stop our Lord from being our high priest. We stop Him from being our intercessor. Just like telling Him, we don't want you to intercede on our behalf. And we don't do that deliberately. We don't say, no, Jesus, don't intercede for me. No, we just don't make it avail ourselves of that ability. We have the ability to go to God boldly. Yet, we choose not to pray. We choose not to pray individually. We choose not to pray corporately. We choose not to allow Him to intercede for us. Every time we fail to spend time in prayer, or saying no to Jesus. What a travesty. We're preventing Him from interceding on our behalf. You know, He prayed, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. He prayed this as He was preparing to die. Found in John chapter 17. Now, some of y'all might say, well, that's good, Pastor John. I pray. I read the Word. What's another way we might say no to Jesus, Pastor John? We say no by refusing to proclaim His death through the breaking of bread and sharing of the cup, which we are going to do today. On the night when He was betrayed, He said, so do this in remembrance of me. Do this is a command. Do this in remembrance of Him. And so when we refuse to partake in communion, when we refuse to prepare our heart, we're saying no to Jesus. He gave His life as a sacrifice. His body was put upon that cross to take away our sin. His blood was shed for the remission of our sin. We say no by refusing to proclaim His death, by refusing to remember what He did. I've been in churches, I've served in churches, and I've attended services in churches that didn't like the idea of communion too frequently. Do it once a year, once a quarter. We here are doing it once a month. I've also been in churches that have proclaimed His death every single week as a part of the service. They would call themselves into remembrance of what Christ did. And I think in a large way, much of the Protestant church has lost that. We've lost the idea that we can call ourselves into remembrance of His sacrifice. Jesus paid it all, and we know that. We even sing hymns to that effect. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Oh, we praise God for that, right? Absolutely. Why would we resist remembering it on a regular basis? You know, John Wesley was known to partake in communion every day. And there are priests that do that, and pastors that do that, and folks that fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ who do that. They keep bread that's set aside. They keep the juice or the wine set aside just for that purpose. And they partake in communion each and every day. I wonder about that because I think whenever I prepared this, I was in a church that was wary of too many or too frequent communions. You know, they were eating the Passover meal whenever He established this. They were eating the Passover meal, and that's a remembrance meal. They were remembering, the Jews of that time were remembering that God had passed over them when they put the blood of the unblemished lamb on the doorposts and the lintels. God passed over, saved them, protected them. And this is a meal of remembrance. You know, Jesus and His disciples ate together regularly, didn't they? Of course they did. The Bible is full of examples of it. It talks all about it. You hear where Jesus and His friends were hanging out and they were eating together. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to hang out and eat together? Well, you know I do. Oh, yeah. Even though I'm fasting one meal a day, I love to eat with my brothers and sisters. I'll break a fast early so I can have fellowship with my brothers and sisters with bread. It's incredible to me that God allows us to fellowship one with another in breaking bread, communing together. See, when we have the communion bread and the communion cup, we're doing what is symbolic of what Christ did. He gave his life. And in breaking bread with one another, we're showing the world that we are a family. Yeah, remember the first miracle that he performed was at a wedding celebration. His mama asked him for some help. She said to the servants, you do whatever he tells you to do. He said, woman, what have I got to do with this? This isn't my business. My time hasn't come yet. My paraphrase, forgive me if you're a purist and you don't like me paraphrasing, but I don't remember the word exactly. There are people that do. In fact, I know some are in this congregation who can remember the word verbatim, and I can't anymore. He made wine. He took dirty old water and turned it into wine, and it was the best wine. That was the first miracle. Other times he fed thousands of people on minuscule amounts of food. Let me see some of these big-time preachers that got these big congregations of thousands of people do that. I don't see that now, do you? Hey, we're all going to have lunch. Just stay where you are, just a minute. Hey, boy, you got your lunch? Bring it up here. We're going to bless this in the name of the Father. Here you go. Pass it out. And then pick up the fragments whenever you're done, right? That's what he did. 5,000 grouped in hundreds and fifties, the Gospel of Mark tells us. And another time, 4,000 were in the desert. Mark chapter 6 tells us about that. Thousands of people Jesus fed. You think feeding people isn't important to him? I'm not saying no to him. He said, feed people. I said, yes, Lord. Somebody once said, well, you know, that's too much work on your wife. And my wife said, no, I did not want to do this. This is my ministry. Woo! Praise God. She's downstairs and she can hear us because I have her on the speakers downstairs. And she receives the message. She wants us to break bread together. That's part of being a family. And with Christ's family, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Of course, we partake in communion together, but we also break bread regularly. You know, all families eat together, right? Daily or weekly, or at least on special occasions. Why wouldn't we? And there are many that say no to Jesus because they don't do what he did. They don't follow what he taught. He teaches not just with his words, but with his actions. He shows us what builds the community of faith. Breaking bread together is one of those things. When we refuse to do what he says, we're deliberately refusing to obey him. We're cheating ourselves of the spiritual benefits of communing with Christ. And we're weakening the body of Christ on earth. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That's what he said. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his. That's written in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. I've got a few more points, but I'm not going to deliver them today. I'm going to take that into next week, or maybe the week after, next week being Mother's Day. We are going to see how we say no to Jesus with our mothers. We can be guilty of saying no to Jesus in a lot of ways. And another one is by refusing to do our part as a member of his church. But again, I'm not going to deliver that today. I'm just going to wrap it up. I want you to know that we don't have to literally say no to Jesus. We don't have to verbalize those words. In the way that we live our lives, we can say no to Jesus. In the way that we refuse to heed what he taught, we can say no to Jesus. In the way that we ignore the Word of God, we can say no to Jesus. In the way that we refuse to pray, either individually or corporately or both, we can say no to Jesus. Why not resolve to say yes to Jesus every day in every way? And that, in us and through us, He may accomplish His full desire. And what is His desire? His desire is to save us. It's to transform us. It's to nourish us. And it's to use us. Why not say yes to Jesus? He said, I don't call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I've made you to know everything that I've heard from my Father. That's in John 15, verse 15. John 15, 15. I call you friends because you know what I got from the Father. But we weren't there. What we have is this book we call the Bible. That's what teaches us what He taught them. And we don't have everything. Oh, it's written. If everything was written down, the world couldn't hold the books. But what we have, we need to study. What we have, we need to follow. What we have will guide us into being transformed into those who study the Word of God and pray to Almighty God, and we commune with one another, and we serve Him completely, individually, and corporately. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Hear what He has to say, and then do it. That's what saying yes to Him means. Keeping His teachings. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Word to teach us, to reach us, to strengthen us, to enable us to be Your people in Your kingdom. Help us not to say no. Help us, Lord, to treasure Your Word. Help us, Lord, to treasure time in prayer. Help us, Lord, to treasure fellowship one with another and communing with Christ. Help us, Lord, to serve. Help us to share Your Word with the lost, I pray. In Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen.